Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
What I'm going to talk about this morning is a few different things. It's all going to wrap together, but it might be a little separate to start. Okay? First thing I want to talk about, salvation. A lot of us in here are considered saved. Well, I'm here to tell you, and I'm going to start off with a very bold statement because I'm just a freak of nature, and that's who I am, is salvation does not make you a Christian. There's not a once saved, always saved. Because God gives you the freedom of will, and you have the freedom to walk out of his grace and go, you know, be like, hey, to you, God, and go do whatever you want. So, but this first part of salvation is just, you know, the $50 word for being saved, to save someone, to help someone. And in order to help somebody, they obviously have a need. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to save somebody who's just like, you know, I just imagine this in my mind. Somebody walking down the street, average Joe, nothing's even happening. There's nothing going on. He's walking, then somebody just comes in and just tackles him and says, dude, I just saved you. From what? That's just what I have a weird imagination. But, like, you can't save somebody from nothing. There's obviously a need. There's something going on. And see, what's going on in us in this world is sin. Because, see, we start out in the hands of God. He knits us in the womb. He makes us who we is. You like that? Who we is. He makes us who we are. And he knits us together. But as soon as we are birthed, come right out, you know, yeah, all cone-headed and ugly, except for me. I mean, I was born this way. Just kidding. Oh, I came out in a suit, pocket square and all. No, you'd think that based on the way my dad dresses, but no. You come out into this world, you're no longer in, like, God's hands. He's no longer knitting you. You are who you are. You're a person. And see, I'm not going to go into the fall and all the details of all that stuff. You know, if you want to know, read Genesis, including all the genealogy. Just kidding. I tried that once. It was a long nap. I'm sorry. I'll be honest. Straightforward. I love the Bible, but genealogies get me. Anyway, I won't go on that rant. We're into the world, and now we're into the world of sin. Sin is in the world, and sin separates us from God. Side note, sin is like the worst trick ever played on somebody. Because, see, sin separates us from God. It causes this chasm. It causes this divide, this vast hole in us. And we run around this world, and we're like, I got to find something to fill this hole. So what do? We run and grab more sin, which just causes the hole to get bigger. What kind of dirty trick is that? You sneaky devil. It's all deception. But see, God sent his son Jesus to save us because the need was there, sin, the separation. And salvation is him coming to save us. Salvation is this wonderful feeling. I remember when I was little, that moment of forgiveness from my pops, man. Oh, I tell you, it's just this wave of relief when he forgives me after I called him butthead. Don't ask me why. We're in the parsonage. I'm like 4 years old, 5 years old. Me and Sydney are walking down the stairs. And she's like, well, what about Dad? And I'm like, nah, Dad's a butthead. I don't know why I said it, but it just so happened he was in the kitchen. And so he heard me, and he's like, what? Oh, I can't. No, that wasn't it. What? And then the house shook. And I was like, turn around. I don't know why I said it. And I just start bawling. I'm like, I don't know why I said it. It just came out. Just sinful nature. And so he says, go to your room. The moment he comes up there, and I'm sorry. Son, I forgive you. That moment of forgiveness, it's just this feeling, this overwhelming feeling. Just of love. And it just, then I'm crying again because I'm so happy and ecstatic. And oh, yay, you're not a butthead, Dad. Well, not all the time. No, I'm just kidding. No. And this overwhelming feeling of forgiveness. It's a lot when we make the decision to follow Jesus. We get saved, and it's this moment of forgiveness, this wonderful feeling, and it's kind of like a decision. Just like that. Just boom. But see, being a Christian is more than that. It's a bunch of things combined. And there's another word that starts with an S that a lot of us maybe don't know about, haven't heard of, don't realize. It's called sanctification. Being sanctified. That's another Lecrae song. Sanctified Troublemaker. Anyway, it's actually called Rebel, but he says that. Doesn't matter. Sanctified. Sanctification. Now, see, the Bible, even though we are prideful Americans, and America's the best. Sorry, Canadian over there. I'm sorry. But anyway, not just because I said that, but because you're Canadian. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, I'm one of the most prideful, arrogant Americans out there, at least about being American. Just saying. Anyway, America, we got to realize the Bible is not written in English. It's like it was Greek, Hebrew, ancient text, stuff like that. And see, sanctification, where it comes from, that word way back then, I forget what it is because, as we know, I'm not the brightest. I forget what it is, but the translation that it often translates to is holy. Jesus was holy. Jesus was sanctified. It's also known as sanctification. It's also known as being set apart. And realize, after we get saved, saved is the first initial step. It's that wonderful feeling of forgiveness. Sanctification comes in after that. Working to get set apart for God. One track, because narrow is the path. It's that one narrow path. Going along it. See? Sanctification is being on that path. Set apart from God. Or set apart for God, not from God. Woof. Wrong way. Pull a Yui. Anyway. Sanctification. Being set apart for Him. Is work. See, salvation is the decision. Just that, oh, wonderful feeling. Oh, yay, yay. Sanctification sucks. Straight up, Gino, I'm telling you. Waking up every day being like, okay, I'm not going to do this today. That stupid habit that I know is sinful and I keep doing it day after day after day after day, I'm not doing it today. And I'll tell you what, it takes self-discipline. It takes work, self-control. And see, it's not just breaking bad habits, but it's creating good habits. Because self-control is not just about keeping you from doing something, but it's knowing when to do something. It's all about controlling oneself. Just said it like Yoda. There you go. Being set apart for Him. Because salvation in that moment, there's often another word that's used, and it's called repentance. And see, repentance, salvation, we ask for forgiveness. We confess our sins to Him. And it's often described as, then you turn the other way. You turn from your sins. And you go down the path. I was in honors geometry in high school. Somebody was doing drugs when they made the scheduling and put me in there. I don't know. It was like the high-end class. I was like, there's no way I should be in here, but I was in there. One thing that I remember is that a circle has infinite points. Infinite points. Just like in between 1 and 2, there's infinite numbers. 1.1, 1.12, 1.123, 1.2, you get it. I'm not going to go on. There's infinite points on a circle. Some of you are looking at me like, okay, what's this, math class? No. We won't take you back there. But there's infinite points on a circle. And when we repent, when we say, God, I confess, I sinned, forgive me of it, because when we say it out loud, it brings it a whole new meaning. It brings it a whole new meaning. So, and then we turn from our sin. Well, I'm here to tell you something. When you turn, you're going in a circle. There's infinite points. There's infinite ways you can turn. And narrow is the path. So I'm here to tell you why sanctification is so important is because you need to know God. You need to know Him. Because when you turn from your sin, how do you know you turn to the narrow path? Because there's a whole bunch of ways to turn. Because if you were like me, when I was younger, I was a porn addict. And so when I was having a bad day, stressful, what did I do? Went to it. It's what I did. And then I said, God, forgive me. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm sick of it. It's annoying. So what did I, okay, all right. So I turned away from it. And I was like, all right, sweet. I repented. But where did I turn? Secular rap. And when things got bad, I just popped in my earbuds. With secular rap, Christian rap's good. Secular rap, yee. The language, degrading women, all these different things. And pretty soon, what was in my mind? All these songs. All these things. When somebody said something to me and all of a sudden it reminded me of a lyric, then all of a sudden I'm lost in the song. Or when I see a girl, automatically lyrics pop up in my head that are totally degrading. And I'm like, what in the world? Okay, fine. You know what, God? Forgive me for this. It's like I went from here, all of a sudden I turned to here. Going this way on this sin. It's like, oh, bummer. Okay, God, forgive me. I repent. I'm turning away from my sin. Okay, I'm going to turn over here. Chewing tobacco. That's where I went. Things got stressed. That's what I did. That's what it was. That's why I'm saying, had I really gotten to know God, had I really just gotten to know him, become sanctified, set apart, because being set apart is walking on the narrow path. Salvation is that first initial decision. In salvation is when we confess. But when you turn from your sin, that's where the sanctification comes in, because you need to be set apart and go on the right path, his path. Because a lot of times when people talk about it, you repent, you just turn the other way, and it's like, oh, there's the wide open road of Christianity. Narrow is the path. Not only can you turn into other sin, you can turn into false teachings. When you turn from your sin, all of a sudden it's like, oh, I'm going to go over here. And a lot of times we don't always confess of our sins. We just turn down a path of false teaching where it says our sin is okay. Because so often nowadays, more and more things are getting accepted into the church. It's like, what you thinking? My goodness. If Jesus would walk up in here, would he be like, what would he do if he walked up in here? That's why when we repent, we need to know where we're turning. Sanctification. This comes in, now comes in, the second part. Knowing God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. If you don't have a Bible, there should be a Bible in the pew rack in front of you. And if you don't like own a Bible personally, take that Bible with you. It's yours. It's not a gift from us, but it's a gift from God to you that we have fully stocked. So take it. It'll be there next. A new one will be there next week. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. I kind of want to do this because I'm in the adult service. In the young blood service, I always say aight when you dare. So I want you to say aight when you dare. Not all right, aight. That was fun. Oh my goodness. That was a lot of fun. All right. So I'm going to start reading this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. This, then, is how we should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I want to put emphasis on verse 11. Give us today our daily bread. It's easy to remember. Give us today our daily bread. Got it? You remember it? Good. Now go to John chapter 6. Give us today our daily bread. John chapter 6, verse 35, say aight when you dare. John chapter 6, verse 35. See, in Matthew, when I first read that verse for the first, you know, when I've heard it when I was younger and stuff like that, I always thought, give us today our daily bread. God, I want a Big Mac for lunch. Minus the food poisoning. No, I'm just kidding. I want, you know, he's going to provide. I thought it was a symbol of his provision. And not that it's not a symbol of his provision. I'm not saying it's not. But let's look at this. John chapter 6, verse 35. Then Jesus declared. Jesus is saying this. Declaring it. Saying it is. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. That's funny how bread can quench your thirst too. Just saying. That's what he's kind of saying. I am the bread of life. Okay. So here we go. We had that first initial decision, salvation. Doesn't make you a Christian. Sanctification is the process of being a Christian, being set apart for him. But in order to be set apart to somebody, to be married, Josh, could you have married Felicia without ever knowing her, like talking to her or anything? No, probably wouldn't have worked out. Well, could have. I mean, she was good looking enough, but I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh so hard at that. Could you two have ever gotten married without talking to one another? Getting to know one another? See? Communication is key. I'd ask you, Justin, but I don't want to. That's my sister. I don't want to talk about it. Just kidding. Love you, Justin. To be set apart for somebody, to be with somebody, to be in love with somebody, you got to get to know them. And prayer is great. Prayer is good. The only thing that's ever wrong with prayer, me. Because too often do I think my own thoughts, oh, is that God speaking to me? Oh, I should go there today, when really it's just my own thoughts. No, I'm not saying don't pray. That's where discernment comes in, and you have to know his voice. And to know his voice and know what he stands for, the best place to look is the Word, the Bible. See, I always thought daily bread was, I want lunch. Feed me, Mama, feed me. And then just a few books later, it talks about how he declares he is the bread. What I get from that, boom, all of a sudden revelation. Daily, we need to take part in Jesus. Daily, we need to take part in Jesus. We need to get to know him daily. We need our little shot of Jesus in every single day. Give me today my daily bread. The Bible. Getting to know him daily. Every day. I talked about this just recently. I had a whole sermon on this topic, but today I was like, slam! Make a sandwich. And I'm all about the food today. I don't know what's going on. But slammed it together, and I talked to them, and I said, it is important to get to know God. It is important. The daily bread. The daily bread. Because I thought how boring bread is. Like how much we overlook bread. Like in my life. I don't ever really think about bread. It's just there. Then when it goes moldy, throw it out. Go buy new stuff. I don't think about it. It's just there. I kind of just, I go on with my day. I never give a 2 cents about what bread I want unless it's at Subway. Then it's like, oh, well, you got variety. I guess I'll go with the bread. It's all pretty much the same. Oh, well, this one's healthier. Oh, really? Okay. Bread. But then I thought about this one time when Jake Hellstrom was here, and he was the pastor, and he took a bunch of us kids out in the wilderness and said, you know what? We're going to only eat the fish we catch. Bummer, we were terrible at fishing. We caught like 5 fish in like 2 days for 8 guys. And we ended up burning 3 of the fish. So we chucked them. And we had eaten through the snacks within the first hour of the trip. Because we all did bring, we did bring a couple snacks, but we went through them rather quickly. That's why you always pack a snack that's good, but not one that you're in love with. teriyaki beef jerky, I shouldn't have packed it. I just was, what? What'd you say? We're in the van. We're not even like out in the wilderness yet, and I'm sitting there eating. I'm like, my goodness. I think I lost like 20 pounds on that trip. It was ridiculous. Literally, I mean, this is a side note. This part of it has nothing to do with the sermon, but we're literally, you're going to think we're crazy, but we were out in the heat, 8 hours a day, kayaking. Because at that point, we just given up on fishing. We're like, let's just get through the trip. And we're just like going as fast as we can. We got to the point where Hunter Costello is on shore with his paddle, and there's a baby raccoon staring at him, just like getting ready to go at him, and he's got his paddle, and he's ready to just thump this thing. And we're all trying to get to shore to go and corner it, and we're about to have some raccoon. Let's go. And then all of a sudden we hear my dad yell from the distance, Hunter! Pastor Randy! Go to Walmart! And he, you know, it was... That's the funny side of things. But the night before that, Jake Elstrom was like, well, I was kind of saving these for an emergency. Dude, I'm wasting away. It's an emergency, man. What do you have? A potato. Just a plain old potato. We throw it in the fire, take it out, put a little salt on it. I ate it. Oh, my word. Best potato ever. I was salivating, just smelling it, cooking. And I don't know if you've ever smelled potatoes cooking. You haven't, because it doesn't make an odor. But we were that hungry, dude, where you could smell it. It was amazing, the aroma. And we ate it, and I went to bed happy. I weighed like 110 pounds, but I was happy. But my goodness. So I think about when things get taken away from us, how much more it means. I don't know if you guys know Greg Schumacher. He goes to his church. Well, this past year, New Year's, if you don't remember, it was really cold. Very cold. And we had just pulled an all-nighter here at the church. And he goes out and he can't start his truck. And me and Justin are here. And we're like, oh boy. Justin's like, I'll give you a jump. And he's like, sweet, my cables are in the toolbox in the bed of my truck. Well, the lock won't turn. It's frozen. And we're out there, and I'm just like, okay, this is ridiculous. And see, we drive vehicles all the time. We just hop in the truck, boom, turn it on, it goes. And it's amazing how many of the parts we don't even know about that run the vehicle and get us places that we don't even think about. We just go in, oh, the key, boom, gone. We like rarely ever think about it until something like this happens. I'm sitting out there and I got a lighter. It was not my own. It was one from the church. And I got my gloves on and I can't get the fire, you know, because I had thick gloves and I was like, this isn't working. So I take my hand off and I'm sitting there and I'm like starting it and I'm holding it against the lock while my thumb is now burning. My thumb was burning, but the rest of my hand was frozen. And like, we're trying to thaw out the lock and it's just not working. And finally get it unlocked and get his truck started and all these different things. It was the battery, you know. And how many times we just get in the vehicle, turn on the truck and just don't even think about the battery. The same way we come to church on Sundays, Wednesdays, and all these different things, and we hear from the Word of God. And what happened if you couldn't come here on Sundays anymore? What happened if there was no church on Wednesdays? What happened if there was no more church gatherings? If you're one of those people that has daily devotions anyway, hey, good for you. I'm happy for you. But not all of us do. What would you do? Because see, we just overlook it. We just think, oh, well, I'm going to get it on Sunday. Turn on the truck. The battery's working. Until someday when it's just not there anymore. What do we do? That's why to know God, read His Word daily, it's got to be more than just Sunday, Wednesday. It's got to be more than that. The daily bread, taking part of that. To get to know Him. To become sanctified. And that is when you start living the life of a Christian. Is when you are sanctified, when you are set apart, when you are holy. But in order to be that, it's just, you know, it goes right back around. In order to be that, you got to know God. In order to know God, you got to read the Word. Because I'll tell you what, it's crazy. I've been in ministry now for just over a year. Started out as an internship, get hired on. And I'll tell you what, hardest thing in my job. Hardest thing. No, it's not getting to the office on time. No matter what my father says. It's not setting up the youth room, tearing it back down. Setting up the youth room, tearing it back down. Josh. To put in new carpet or anything. No. It's not praying for the students. It's not praying for the service, preparing sermons. It's not any of that. It's not the paperwork, although I'm not a big fan. It's not all that stuff. I'm just not the one to sit at a desk and just do all that. It's difficult. It wasn't that. The hardest part of my job is at the end of the day when I need to get on my knees in personal prayer and in personal devotions. Because my whole job is spent reading the Word to prepare for a sermon. So when I go home and it's time for me to read the Word, that's the hardest thing. My daily bread. Because I got to be honest, when I'm preparing for a sermon, I don't count that as daily bread. That's my duty. That's my job. I love it. I do it because I love it and I love the students. But I don't count it as my daily bread. How important it is to get to know somebody. To have a relationship with them. It's the same way with God. Sanctification. It's kind of a fun word to say. Sanctification. I like it. It's a fun word. How important it is. And how difficult it can be. Because like I said, salvation is that decision. I mean, sometimes that decision is hard, don't get me wrong. But once you make that decision, that salvation, that overwhelming feeling, it's like, oh, in the glory of God. Well, guess what? Next step is sanctification. It's like boot camp. I think about like, I love the military. Love the military. I have respect for the military. All branches. And I don't like to play favorites, but the Marine Corps. Tough sons of guns. And I think about it. I think about all the training they go through. They make the decision. They sign the paper. Hey, that's the easy part. Show up to boot camp. See how that goes for you. That's the hard part. But at the end of the training, after you have made it through, you are a Marine. You are in the Army. You are now a soldier. No matter what branch you're in, after you go through the training, at the end of it, you are the soldier now. You are ready to go to work. Christian life. Salvation, sign in the papers. Sanctification and living in this earth is the boot camp. Get to heaven. Now that's going to be a good day. I can bet you, all of you, even the white people are going to be doing that Shirley dance. I'm getting in. You got to know him. You got to know him. Daily bread. I did this thing with the students. I said, anybody who wants a text message daily from me, I had this for two reasons. Text message to me, or from me, to them, with a Bible verse and a word of encouragement. And I'll tell you what, I've only been doing it for like a week now, and it's already pretty difficult for me. But see, it keeps me accountable. It forces me, because I'll be honest, I'm imperfect, guys. I'm sorry. I have to force myself sometimes. I know how all of you have a very specific time of day where you sit down and turn off your phone and read the word, like half the Bible. I know. I'm just not as holy as thou. I have to force myself sometimes. And this keeps me accountable. Not only that, these kids, they get a little taste. They get a little word. I love it. It makes me so happy. I announced it on that Saturday, and I go back and look at the list after service, and there's like four girls and one dude. And I'm like, well, it's a start. And then I just posted it on Instagram, posted it on Facebook, and then all of a sudden I got people messaging me saying, hey, add me to that list. And I mean, it's not huge now. I think we got like 12 people, I don't know. But hey, you know how many of them are non-Christians? A girl I went to high school with, she's like, add me to that list. And I was like, well, hey, sure. I mean, you know how that makes me feel? It's kind of a bittersweet feeling. It's sweet because a non-Christian that I know is getting to know God. It's bitter because a non-Christian is getting to know God when I'm not always getting that daily bread. And I call myself a Christian. And I'm not getting that daily bread, but a non-Christian is getting that daily bread. Makes me think that salvation doesn't make you a Christian. It's the start. It's the start. But salvation with sanctification. And in order to be sanctified, get to know Him. Got to get to know Him.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.